Mary, call anytime at 800-387-8025. Follow the program on Facebook or Instagram at RM World Travel. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back. This portion of the program is sponsored by LifeLock.com. Were you traveling last weekend over Memorial Day holiday, eating at restaurants or staying somewhere at a hotel? Maybe even shopping at a grocery store, a pharmacy, the mall. Did you buy gas? Well, if you did any of those things or even went to a movie and you used your credit card or paid on your smartphone, well, you could likely become a victim of identity theft. By the way, somebody charged $1,200 on my American Express card this week at the Louis Vuitton store in Beverly Hills. And it wasn't me. I didn't buy any shoes. But I digress. Back to the commercial announcement. Criminals enjoy stealing ID card numbers and have become very crafty in getting your personal information behind the card because it's so valuable. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your personal info to pretend they're you. They can buy things on your credit, as I just mentioned, liquidate your bank accounts, even get a hold of your retirement funds. That's why Robert, Mary, and I have LifeLock. So should you. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions every second, and if they detect your information, they'll immediately alert you. If you encounter a problem, their U.S.-based agents will work to fix it. Very different from free credit monitoring services that only alert you to changes in credit. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you only have one identity, so protect it like we have with the best. LifeLock memberships start as low as $9.99 a month. Visit LifeLock.com today and save 10%. Well, save 10% when you use the promo code Rudy, R-U-D-Y. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Rudy. Save 10% or find the link at the all-new RudyMaxa.com under sponsors. You know, in Japan, they call the most talented men and women in their professions national treasures. If you're a book reader, I think you'd agree with me that if we in America had a similar designation, the writer Russell Banks would be one of our national treasures. He's been a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for fiction writing twice, and while most of his prodigious output is fiction, he sometimes turns to nonfiction, as he has with his newest book, just out this week, titled Voyager. This is, believe me, I've only got 10 more pages to go. This is a beautifully written book, gorgeous. It's an account of Mr. Banks' travels to destinations as disparate as the Florida Keys to Senegal. And he joins me today to discuss the broad subject of travel. Welcome to the show, Mr. Banks. It's an honor to have you on.
Thanks, Rudy. It's good to be here.
Well, we might as well start at the beginning. The first sentence of your book is, "A man who's been married four times has a lot of explaining to do," quote unquote,
which is
sort of an immediate tip-off to the reader that this is going to be a book on travel that is interwoven with your personal life. Is some of your travel fueled by both successes and failures in that regard?
I think so, although sometimes one doesn't realize it until you're actually underway. I find that traveling breaks not just my routine, but it takes me out of the flow of my life in a way that forces me to start reflecting on my life. And when you reach a certain age, you look backwards more than you look forwards. And that's really what the book kind of takes off and runs with.
I often find it very discouraging to start. I try not to reflect on my life. you sometimes view your home country through what you find on the road or the experiences you have or what you learn. In fact, you had a great line. Let me see. I read it. If I can quote it. We don't travel to see things. We travel for information. Is that the...
Yeah. And, but it's really information about where we where we came from more often than information about where we are. I mean, part of the stories that unfold there, the difficulty of penetrating another culture and understanding another culture and another people, with any depth of understanding. But yet one is forced to kind of turn around and see where you came from more easily. And by standing somewhat outside it, you can. I mean, when I first, in the 70s, lived in Jamaica, I learned more about America than I learned about Jamaica as a result.
And you talk about that in your chapter on Senegal, where you look at you have to think about the history of the slave trade, the Senegalese who came to the Caribbean and to the United States. And writing about the Everglades, which is a place you say you return to often, you vividly describe the almost prehistoric feel of that huge expanse of wetlands, and you suggest that the increasing popularity of the Everglades and other national parks may be because as Americans we are a people, and here I'm going to quote you again, whose presence is too much with us, whose future looks worse, we're talking about America here, and whose past is increasingly paved over or deliberately erased, that for all our emotional and intellectual well-being, for all our moral health as well, time travel has become more essential than ever, unquote. And that hint of loss and ruination of the planet's in several of your
chapters. I think it is. it was funny, you know, when I was pulling this stuff all together and rewriting it and rethinking it, it kept coming back to me that stuff I saw in the 80s is now worse, you know, 25 years later. The piece on Alaska and driving the Hummer, for instance, took place, I think, in the late 80s, but recently back in Alaska, you look and you see it, and it's worse now than it was then, but the piece is kind of prescient in a way.
My guest is Russell Banks. He's the New York Times bestselling author of novels, including The Sweet Hereafter. And he's got a new book out that is nonfiction. It's called Voyager, subtitled Travel Writings. And these are just beautiful essays on some of the places he's been, and interwoven in that is some of his personal life. You have children. You have grandchildren.
Four daughters and two grandchildren.
Well, God
so
bless
far.
It. Well, if you were to advise your grandchildren on how to get the most out of traveling, what would you tell them?
You know, that's a tough question, but generally, I think leave your camera at home if you can. And at the end of each day, and this is what I do now, and I've been doing it for decades, at the end of each day, take a half hour and write down in a journal, a notebook of any kind, what happened that day. Even if nothing happened, write that down too. But make a record of it and relive it at the end of the day. And I think it imprints in a way that no amount of picture taking will make possible. And years later, you'll still have it isn't that you have to go back and reread it. You've imprinted it almost in your own mind in a way. It's a way of collecting and keeping whatever happens to you while you're traveling.
Russell Banks, he don't do a lot of selfies?
I'm afraid I don't.
You know, Bert,
don't post pictures of your meals on Facebook.
Birds are sort of a leitmotif in your travel narratives. You seem to find, which I found interesting, you found both joy and heartache in spotting one of the world's rarest birds. I'd never heard of a black parrot. I think that was in the Seychelles. And you write, it's as much as I can handle, but that's what one needs, isn't it? Enough heartache not to save the world, for that's no longer possible, but merely to help keep it from helping it in its destruction, unquote. Travel help save the world?
Well, unfortunately, almost tragically, no. And yet, it's such an incredibly fast-growing industry, and I think a lot of the description of what's happening in the Caribbean in the book illustrates that. I live part of the year in South Florida, in Miami, and every Sunday watch the cruise ships line up and take off for the Caribbean, you know, each of them carrying about 3,000 to 4,000 people plus their crew. And I just kind of shudder as I think about what that means as 12 or 15,000 more tourists on those cruise ships head south into the Caribbean. What it means in terms of the environmental damage, what it means in terms of the cultural damage which it causes. I've seen it from the other side, sitting on the islands, watching the ships come in and people disembark and scatter around the village, the port for a few hours and spend a lot of money on tchotchkes and souvenirs, and then head back to the boat.
Welcome to St. Thomas.
Exactly.
an island ruined by cruise ships and tourists. So if you hop over to St. John's, you'll have a more tranquil time.
Sure.
Where do you go, and maybe it's the Everglades because you say you go there repeatedly, where do you go to recuperate, R&R, maybe even write, to sort of gather your strength again?
Well, I'm really lucky. I live 6 months a year in the Adirondacks of upstate New York, where my wife's family has been going for generations. In the summer, they were academics and clergy, and so they had long summer vacations, and they would go up there. And she eventually settled there, and I followed her there. And now, since 1987, I've been going there, and it's the edge of wilderness. The largest state park in the Southern 48. It's 6 million acres interspersed with little villages, and it can't be developed. You can't build ski lodges or condominiums there. It's built into the New York State Constitution, and so it's really a place out of time, and I find it wonderfully recuperative to settle in there in May and work until the end of October.
Lovely. Well, I got to say, as a journalist, having read your book, I think I'll travel with a lot more open eyes, mind, and a heart. Russell Banks will be discussing his new book, Voyager, and signing books Monday night at the Harvard Bookstore in Boston. in D.C. on Tuesday at Politics and Prose, where all authors must go in D.C., and on Wednesday in Manhattan at the Upper West Side Barnes and Noble. Mr. Banks, congratulations on the book. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to talk about sending your kids on a cruise as a summer camp or an alternative to the classic summer camp. I'm Rudy Maxa, along with Robert and Mary Carey. We aim to bring you travel all weekend. Don't go away.
Rudy Maxa's World with the Careys. Phone lines are open 24-7 at 800-387-8025. And so is the website at rudymaxa.com. We're back after these messages.